If you have your Bibles, turn to Galatians chapter number 5, and I want to personally congratulate the graduates, and I did enjoy my time at Bible College. I was there for 5 years, but I will say that life is so much better out of Bible College, and really you have your future ahead of you. I'm sure God has exciting things planned for your lives. And really, this is just a beginning for you. Really, I have just a very simple thought for us tonight, and specifically for you graduates as you launch out into life. A very simple thought, but I think a thought that if applied to our lives, applied to your marriage or your future marriages and in your families, in your ministries, could really transform your lives and the lives of those that you touch on a daily basis. You know, we live in a very result-driven society. And I'm all for results, and I think results are important. But I think oftentimes in the pursuit of results, we often overlook the way in which the results were achieved. We sometimes diminish things such as character, and we just want the results. Well, I believe that the results are important, but how we got the results are much more important. Having character is very important. Somebody once said that character counts. As Christians, character ought to be count much more than the results. And I believe this, if we have the character that God wants us to have, you'll be able to tackle any challenge, any trial, any ups or downs that life may throw at you, and you can be successful if you have the character that God wants you to have. Now, the Bible does not use that word character to describe what we as Christians should be or should have as part of our life. But the Bible does use a few words called the fruit of the Spirit. And we're familiar with that there. And we'll read these verses here, and I'll get to where I'm going here. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, familiar verses here for us. The Bible says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Now we understand and we know, especially as Bible College students, that these fruits of the Spirit will be manifested in our lives as a natural byproduct of our relationship with the Lord. As Christians, by the way, that's why it's so important for all of us to have a genuine and true and honest relationship with God. Because if we do, guess what? You'll be a better husband. You'll be a better wife. You'll be a better dad and a better mom. You'll be a better ministry worker. You'll be exactly who God wants you to be as a result of your walk with God. But notice, I want you to notice that all of these fruits of the Spirit, they are qualities that have to do with us. The Bible does not say that in order to have love, we need to be loved. The Bible does not say in order to have patience or long-suffering, people have to be patient with us. You see, all of these character qualities all have to do with you. They all have to do with me. It has nothing to do with anybody else. And we need to get away from the mentality of, well, it's everybody else's fault for the way that I am. I'm a victim. I'm just a byproduct of my society. That's not the way it is for Christians. We can be successful in life. We don't have to worry about anybody else. And all of these are very important qualities, and we could spend quite a long time talking about each and every single one of these. But tonight I just want to talk about one of the fruits of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit that I'd like to kind of challenge you with tonight, or encourage you, or ask you to really consider and Lord willing apply it to your life, is the character quality or the fruit of the Spirit known as gentleness. Gentleness. Now, gentleness is not compromise. Gentleness is not condoning ungodly behavior. Gentleness is not being soft or accepting of sin. Gentleness is not weak or feminine. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 10:1, the Apostle Paul said, I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Paul is writing to the church there at Corinth, and of all the different things he could have said about Jesus Christ, he could have said about the way that Jesus preached, or Jesus' holiness, or Jesus' righteousness. He could have listed a bunch of different things, but he noted two qualities about Jesus that he was begging and imploring these people about. He said, meekness and gentleness. You see, although Jesus preached and he ripped the Pharisees, the Bible says that Jesus was gentle. The word gentle means mild, kind, tender, not rough, harsh, or severe. Jesus took a stand against sin, but he was gentle. Jesus did not compromise the Word of God, and he was gentle. And I know that you have learned a lot in Bible college in your time there. You've learned standards and convictions, and you've learned ministry and philosophy and all these things. But as you launch out into the world, I want to encourage you tonight to remember to be gentle. Be gentle. You say, to whom am I to be gentle towards? Well, let me say, first of all, I want to encourage you to be gentle to your family. Be gentle to your family. I think about the story of Jacob and Esau. We know the story there, the two feuding brothers, and Jacob is coming back to kind of meet up with his brother Esau. He's not quite sure how things are going to work out, but the reunion is good. They hug and kiss and shake hands, and everything's good. And it's time to go back home. And it's an interesting thing here that Esau says, hey, let's go back home. And Jacob says something very interesting in Genesis 33:14. He says, let my Lord, I pray thee, pass over before his servant, and I will lead on softly, according as the cattle that goeth before me and the children be able to endure. You say, what was Jacob saying? He was saying, look, Esau, you go ahead, but I need to lead my family, the women and the children, I need to lead them softly. I need to lead them gently. I know that there's been times in my life as a father, I have not always been as gentle with my children as I should have been. I know that there's times in my life as a father or as a husband that I haven't been as gentle with my wife as I should have been. But let me say this, we can take a stand, and I'm all for, as a parent, taking a stand, and we need to stand for what's right, and we ought to not allow some things in our house, but say we can do it with gentleness. We can be firm with our children. I wonder, and my kids are in here tonight, hopefully they're not paying attention, but I wonder, maybe they may have some scars tonight because their dad was a little harsh. Their dad was a little rash. I don't know about you, but you're going to grow up and you're going to have kids one of these days. And I'm sure you don't want your kids to walk away from the faith and walk away from the family. You say, what's one of the things that I think is going to keep them there is gentleness. Be gentle with your family. Not only gentle with your family, but let me say this. Be gentle with Christians, specifically new Christians. By the way, that's what is exciting in the ministry is new Christians. But man, new Christians, they come into the Christian life and they got all kinds of problems. In Monterey Park, I mean, we have people in our church that have committed murder. A lot of them been in jail before, former drug addicts. And just, I mean, it's like, wow, these people come and they just got a lot of problems. You say, what do they need? They don't need somebody to beat them over the head. They don't need somebody to grab the Bible and say, man, what's wrong with you? I can't believe you did that. You're at the bar, blah, 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 blah. You say, what do they need? They need someone to be gentle, to say, hey, it's okay. God still loves you. Let's get back on the horse. Let's do this thing. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 2:7, it says, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. The Apostle Paul, and we like to, and I'm all for hard preaching. I enjoy hard preaching. But sometimes we forget the Apostle Paul, though he preached hard, and Jesus preached hard. I think and I believe that they were very gentle people. So let's be gentle as to Christians. Let's be gentle to our family. And let me say lastly here, be gentle towards lost people. Be gentle towards the lost. The world doesn't need to see any more screaming and condemning Christians. They need to see people that are loving and gentle. The Bible says in Titus 3:2, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. That's just not your family. That's just not Christians or new Christians. Guess what? That's unsaved people as well. Now let me show you, and I'm done here tonight. And this is really the whole crux of the entire message. I want to show you one verse here about the power of gentleness. What gentleness can do in the life of a person. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalms chapter number 18. We'll read one verse here tonight and we'll be done. Psalms chapter number 18. And verse number 35, we know King David, and what an amazing man King David was, but listen to these words here. The Bible says in verse number 35, thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. You say, why? David made mistakes, didn't he? David fell short, just like all of us fall short. Just like your husband's going to fall short, and just like your wife is going to fall short, and your children are going to fall short, and the people you're working with are going to fall short. You say, what do they need? They don't need to be hit over the head. They don't need to be told what to do. Look, imagine all the things that David could have said about God. David was a man after God's own heart. David was a king. David was a warrior. He could have said, God, your righteousness has made me great. He could have said, your power has made me great. He could have said, your glory. A million things that David could have said about God. But he said, thy gentleness has made me great. And you can have a great marriage. You can have great kids. I believe that you can have a great ministry, but you're just going to need to be gentle. And again, I'm not telling you tonight, and I know sometimes it may come a message like this, well, it sounds like compromise. It sounds like he's soft. It sounds like, no. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. David said, God's gentleness has made me great. Hey, let's go out there. Let's make something great of our lives. And say, what are we going to need? We're going to need this thing of gentleness. Gentleness. And let me pray for you. Father, thank you so much for these Bible college students, and thank you for their families. I know that There was time and money and investment and prayers and sacrifices that were put forth to get them to this place here tonight. And really, it's a completion of some years of their lives, but it's also the launching out of many more years of life. And I pray as they go, as they raise their families, if you so find fit to allow them to have families, I pray, Lord, that you'd help them to remember to be gentle with their spouses, to be gentle with their children, to be gentle in the ministry. And Lord, I believe that you can use their lives to do something great. But we all, Lord, help us to be gentle. Help us to remember these things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.